You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, eh?
Jeez. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
We'll dig in on the Bills here. Bulldog and I just talking some hockey during the break. The all-time NHL goal scoring record was broken last night. It's like no one even cares. Alex Ovechkin, 915.
Oh, he broke his own record.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No one even seems to. He also blocked a shot in this game. No one even seems to. You'd think that'd be a big news story. Okay.
Does he have the blocked shot record now, too?
I don't know. Yeah. But when he gets that, though, that'll be a bigger deal than breaking the literal all time goal scoring record,
maybe
which
stop,
he just did last night.
Maybe they'll stop the game and Zach Taylor will get mad all over again.
Yeah, that might be something. That might be deserving. Getting mad at that might be fair, if that were to happen. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. One day closer to the wild card matchup, Bills and Jaguars on Sunday, and some injury developments today. I'm probably most curious, well, I'd say two guys from this list, Sal. Matt Prater, who today is listed as having practiced in full, so you'll tell us if that you think that means he's like fine now. And Ty Johnson, Bulldog pointed out yesterday how, like, don't ignore his name on the injury report
right,
because he matters a lot to the Bills. So, Prater first.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, guys. I would say if you, like, the question is, if is he fine? I don't know, right? How could we judge that? He did practice in full today. That's for a kicker, whatever his normal amount of reps is. That means he took. I guess the question would be how he feels tomorrow, right? Really, more than anything. How do you feel after having your normal amount of reps, after kicking? So I think it's obviously very encouraging for Matt Prater to be, you know, a full participant today, especially after yesterday when he said to us that he was confident that he could get a full week in and, you know, the rest of the weekend, I should say, and, you know, get a full Thursday in. And that's where it's trending. So I like where that's trending. I still think you have to be very cognizant of it. And by the time you get to Saturday, think about, is he truly in the spot that you can trust him to not only start a game, but get through a game? I think that's the question they're going to have to ask themselves. And then on Ty Johnson, yeah, that's a really big name on this list. I mean, he's a guy that does a lot for the Bills. He's a very good pass catching running back. We know that. He's very good in pass protection. They love him as a third down back. He hasn't practiced for two straight days, but I think, you know, over the last 5 weeks or so, really since maybe December, if I remember back, there's been different guys who Sean McDermott would come on Friday and they hadn't practiced on Wednesday or Thursday. And he'd say, yeah, he's going to be limited today and we'll see how it goes. So I wouldn't rule him out, obviously, here on a Thursday. And I do think that, you know, we'll wait till tomorrow to see what McDermott has to say about him.
Yeah, they might just trying to be extra
yep,
careful. Give him as much time as possible. Don't rush it. And, you know, hopefully he can serve some purpose. He did finish the game, did he not? Right?
He did. He scored a touchdown after he got hurt.
Right, right.
So, even when he got hurt, Bulldog, I mean, on the sidelines, the official report was probable to return.
Right.
You know, he got bent back pretty good. When it happened, you could see it. He limped off the field. I knew it right away. Like, you got eyes on him. You're like, okay, he just came off. Let's see what happens here. Went in the tent. Then we get the report, ankle probable to return, which was good because they only had one other running back really available, you know, in Ray Davis. Mm-hmm. And then he went back in and he scored a touchdown. So, but you know how these things go, you know, your adrenaline's pumping, you tape it up. And then after the game, you're like, okay, well, guess what? There's a little bit more here than we thought.
Gets stiff.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a skate to take off, but still, right. You take the tape off and the thing might swell up on you.
I always want to couch the Prater stuff because we don't know exactly what it is that he's got. It's enough for him to have missed the second half and to be on the injury report and so on. And he missed games before that. But man, again, I'm just like, if he's fine, if he feels good tomorrow, then we just risk it. or, you know, still have the other guy, the new guy, Matthew Wright, as an emergency if he has a setback or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It scares me a little bit. I think I might already want to be done with this, coming off a second, you know, a recurrence of that injury, but the Bills are seemingly not.
No, that's right. I mean, you know, we're not in the shoes of the medical staff and the trainers and or Matt Prater, other than what he tells us. And he could be feeling much better than we all maybe think here just by looking at it from the outside. You know, it could be really, when he used the word precautionary for Sunday, when he talked to us yesterday, that was really encouraging to me. Meaning, okay, well, that's good. It wasn't like he, like, really something happened where he's like, oh my God, I'm in danger of missing. It was more like, okay, the weather wasn't great, wasn't feeling that great. Let's not risk anything. So to be in this position, you know, obviously is encouraging. So get to Saturday, 4 p.m. is the deadline if they're going to have any elevations. Matthew Wright would be the guy if they want to do that. If they don't elevate Matthew Wright by 4 p.m. on Saturday, then they're rolling with Matt Prater, and then you're like, okay, please get through the game.
Right.
If they do, it doesn't mean he's going to play, but man, I would find it hard. Well, I shouldn't say that. You could do it one of two ways. He gets elevated, and it's really just precaution until you get to 11:30 a.m. Right. on Sunday and see how Matt plays, Matt Prater feels, or you literally have a plan to say, we're going to have him on the active roster just in case.
Yeah, I'm pretty. I think yesterday I would have said to you, maybe dress them both, just to be sure. Now I'm more at maybe call them up. You burn one of those practice squad call ups and then leave him inactive if Prater feels good Sunday. I would bet, Sal, like you know the timeline better than me. Like flying Saturday, they get there. Like the plane might be a key part of this. Like how sure. is he off the plane? Like so they get off the plane and go to the hotel. I would think trainers got to check in right away. How is Matt Prater? Right. I don't know how that lines up with 4 p.m. And when they have to make that decision on Wright, whether or not to elevate him from the practice squad or not. But I would assume a big check-in right after they get off the plane is in order.
It's a good point you make about the timing, because generally we do land in the city we go to probably about 3:30 or so. So I think their decision will be made before then, okay. right? You know what I mean? Yep, and then and just make sure. But you're right. And then you'll see where it goes. So I think they'll probably have a plan and make the decision before then. But you're right on the timing there. But you're absolutely, you just get them right there and, you know, let's go to treatment, make sure you're all good and everything like that. So the other part about this is, of course, guys, as you know, you only get two elevations. And if you use one on Matthew Wright, then you can't use one on somebody else. And right now, I mean, Terrell Bernard has not played 2 days in a row, practiced, and Shaq Thompson's dealing with a neck injury. I would expect Shaq to play. I mean, he played the week after the neck injury. But, you know, you might want to have another guy like Keontae Jenkins or Baylen Spector, because now suddenly Joe Andreessen becomes your backup middle linebacker. And if something were to happen to Shaq, then you got to use Joe there. So now what happens with your special teams? Plus, you have 2 days in a row now of Joshua Palmer not practicing. I mean, that's starting to trend like he's not going to play. So what do you do there? Do you trust Keon Coleman enough to have him active? Or do you feel that you need Mecole Hardman because you don't want to lose Khalil Shakir to some random thing that happens on a punt return? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's just so many decisions you have to think about here.
And Ty Johnson, who we already talked about.
Correct. And Ty Johnson.
You'd want another running back, I would think.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's right, guys. If Ty Johnson can't go, I would go there. One of the first positions I would look at. If Ty Johnson can't go, I don't think you can go into a game with two running backs. I think you'd have to elevate Frank Gore in that situation.
How do you like Allen's chances of running a lot here in this game, Sal? It's such a, you know, such a weapon, a feature that teams don't often have to face week to week. It's all on the line here. Looking at some of the props earlier, 38.5 yards. I mean, I guess some of it depends on his foot, but I mean, it's all out here, right?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I actually went and did the math earlier this week about other teams' quarterbacks running against the Jags, and there have been some pretty decent games. Now, Mahomes ran for 60. There were a couple others in there, like Cam Ward, I think, had like a 20-yard day. Not huge numbers. There was a 40-yard day in there maybe from somebody. I can't remember who it was. So I went back and looked, and it felt like a lot. I actually added it up, and it added up to something like high 200s, like total yards given up. So then I went and looked and literally put in like most rushing yards given up by a quarterback, you know, against opponents this year. And the Jags aren't even that high, to be quite honest with you. But they have given up some, like the Bills are higher than the Jags. If you guys remember, early in the year, that really hurt the Bills. Early in the year, the Bills gave up a lot of third down scrambles, whether it was, you know, New Orleans or even Tua escaped a couple times. Yep, remember that? Yep, remember the big one by Lamar? They've been better at that later in the year. But it feels like part of the reason why it feels like the Jags give it up because they don't give up to running backs. They don't give up a lot of yards to running backs. And sometimes by necessity, the quarterback becomes more of the runner that has to do a little bit more to keep the offense moving a little bit. So I do think, Mike, to answer your question, that could very well be something the Bills lean into this week, because if the Jags are going to try to shut down James Cook and really concentrate on that, then I think the Bills have to have a way to run the football outside of him to keep them ominous, and that would have to obviously include Josh Allen.
We didn't talk about Dane Jackson, did we? Getting added to the 53? What do you think? What are they getting from this? You know, he's been around a long time, in and out of the on and off the team.
It's a really interesting move because I think this can be tied back to everything we talked about earlier, which is Matthew Prater, the other injuries going on. One of the options here for the Bills would be not just to elevate guys like a Matthew Wright or a Mecole Hardman. If they really needed to, they could sign a guy to the 53-man roster, and then you have to make a roster move. Now, by doing that, a guy goes on waivers. So if you walk through the roster and go, well, they do have four tight ends, right? Do you need Kaliki Latu on the roster? You could argue, yes, you do, because what happens if Dalton, something happens to Dalton Kincaid? You win this week and need somebody, right? What happens if Latu gets claimed, right?
Now you don't treat have it like a 1 week season here. You're thinking about a month here of football, right?
That's exactly right, Bulldog. And let's remember, anybody released gets claimed off waivers. So that being said, I think the smart move was signing Dane Jackson to the 53, because I think they already know that Max Harrison isn't playing. All right, Max isn't playing. We know we're going to need another corner. They only have two boundary corners. That's Christian Benford. That's Tre'Davious White. They have Dane Jackson sitting there in the practice squad. Well, let's not burn one. We know we're going to play him. So let's sign him to the 53, and then we still have two elevations left. Dane Jackson is, to me, a good floor for a backup corner to have for you. You could do a lot worse than guys like that in the league. I understand the minute a guy like that gets like, oh, the Bills are signing him, fans kind of go a little crazy about, oh my God, he better not play. He's terrible. Every team has players like Dane Jackson on their team. And that is to say, players who have been around, who are veterans, who know the system, that you put on the field if you need them, who you are confident can at least do a base level job. And I think that's what Dane Jackson is for them.
With Sal Capaccio, did you hear us talking about the referee for this game earlier, maybe?
I did not. Who is it?
Brad Allen.
Oh, okay.
So some interesting things, I think, about him. He had three Bills wildcard games in a row, Indy, New England, and Miami. And in those three games, the Bills were called for an accepted total of 7 penalties total, 2, 3, and 2 in those three games. He also has stats that show him to be like the fewest penalties in the league. That's the case in 2025 on average. Last in calling offensive holding. The Bills tied for first in offensive holding penalties this year. Everything's coming up. Not everything's coming up Bills because, you know, home teams tend to win when he's the ref. But that's the case anyway, you know, generally in the league. But if you're the type to, you know, maybe be interested in this, I think some of the stats here with Allen look good. It might be the right choice for the Bills in the end.
Yeah, despite what Mike Vrabel had said a while back, I don't believe the Bills are any more number one unless you have something different. Let me look at it real quick. No, the Bills now are 28th in the NFL. 28th, like, is worse. So I guess that'd be, what, 32? They have the fourth most offensive holding penalties in the league.
I have Warren Sharp's site that says they're tied for first. So, but
no, they have according to the NFL Game and Information System, they were the top offensive holding team in the league until they played the Patriots, and Mike Vrabel went on the radio and cried about it the next day because the Bills didn't get any offensive holding penalties, which he was wrong. They did, and it negated a touchdown. But I digress.
Close enough.
You know. Yeah, right. Anyway, that being said, they are 28.
Anything anymore, Sal. Just say whatever you want. That's how it works.
You know. It is interesting. I think that referee stats are interesting when you can follow trends. I also always want to make a point, because as someone who's on the sidelines and has officials standing in front of me quite often, it's not the referee who throws the penalties, really, other than a quarterback, you know, a hold in the backfield or roughing the passer. It's all the other people on the field holding or calling it. And in the playoffs, I believe they mix crews. I think they still have mixed crews. So who knows what to make of those stats? You know what I mean?
Yeah. The umpire is not from his crew, and he's a dentist. But I'm not sure of the stats on how dentists tend to call penalties, whether they're very strict or very lenient or what they are.
Yeah. Sal, is there anything that stands out so far? We're into Thursday. We've got tomorrow to talk about this, and then you guys will be traveling on Saturday, and, of course, it's game day on Sunday. From Jacksonville's side of things, the left tackles missed a couple of days of practice. That could be a decent-sized deal, I would think.
100%, yeah. Yeah, there's one thing on them, going back to what you guys just said, just so you're aware. The Jags have been called overall for the third most penalties in the league this year. So they actually have been penalized the third most of any team in the NFL. It's Dallas, Tennessee, and Jacksonville as the top three teams in the league overall. So we'll see if that, you know, matters in this game to any extent. They are missing their left tackle, Cole Van Lannen. He just signed a contract extension, actually, about I think a day after he even got hurt in a game a couple of weeks ago. There's just been a lot of stuff out of Jacksonville, how people are expecting him to play. And he said he was going to play, and then now here you are on Thursday, he hasn't practiced yet. So he could still play, but it could also be gamesmanship that maybe they're putting it out there that he's going to play. I'm not really sure. Jerrion Jones, their backup nickel, has been sick, but he was returned in a limited fashion today. They don't have the injury list the Bills do, that's for sure. They have a few other guys. Now, Patrick McCary, he's one of Van Lannen's backups, actually. If he wasn't to play, he would play. He's been limited with a back injury. So I do think there's a few things there on the offensive line. And then they have Greg Newsome has been dealing with a shoulder injury. So, yeah, they have some injuries they're dealing with, but nothing like the Bills in that regard. I would say, too, I was on Jacksonville radio today, as you guys were talking earlier. I did hear you talking about other radio spots you were doing.
Yeah.
I was on Jacksonville radio today. And one of the hosts was Leon Searcy. Got to remember Leon Searcy?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on with him, and it dawned on me. I said, I think, Leon, the last time the Bills won a road playoff game, you were on the team that they beat.
Miami.
And that is true. No. Steelers.
Well, that's the week before, but yes. They beat Miami.
Okay, the year.
Week.
I apologize, year. Mike. You're right. My apologies.
Same year, right.
That year. That was the last time the Bills, that year.
Right.
It was the day at the week after the comeback game, right?
Right, yes. Pittsburgh, right.
And he's like, wow. He's like, that's right. He said, boy, that's a long time ago. I'm like, I know. But the other thing is, because they were asking me about that. I mean, yes, the Bills have been, they're 0-8 on the road in under McDermott? 0-5? I can't remember the number.
Six, maybe.
But
6 years in a row.
I'm like, guys, when you don't play in the playoffs for 17 straight years, you're going to go a long time without winning a playoff game on the road. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
They have four road playoff wins ever, I believe. 65, 81, 92, 92 seasons.
Yeah.
Good to hear Leon Searcy has landed on his feet. Mike McDaniel out in Miami. What do you make of it?
I find it really interesting and curious, the timing of it, and I can't help but think that it ties back to Harbaugh being available.
Yep.
I know there's been a lot of people always speculating that. They have a GM that they're interviewing named Alexander, I believe is his last name.
That's tight with Harbaugh, yeah.
Yeah, and that would be a guy, but according to Jeff Darlington, who's pretty good down in Miami, that's his home base, so he's got the pulse on the Dolphins usually. You know, and I know that I'm sure he's going to get this from the team a little bit and how they're going to want to put it out there. Uh-huh. But he said, look, they're going to hire a GM and then they'll go from there. This isn't necessarily just about Harbaugh being available. But, you know, you have to kind of tie it. I would think that it might be now.
Yeah, me too. Harbaugh, yeah, I read a long paragraph and it just felt like more than is necessary to prove to me, right? Like you protest too much. Right, it feels very much like Miami wants to make sure they don't get portrayed as, well, a guy we like more came on the market, so we're moving on from McDaniel. But that's almost definitely what happened.
Yeah, it feels like that's the case. And I think on the other side, though, if you're Harbaugh, sure, maybe he wants to go and live in Miami and work in Miami, and he's tight with this guy. But, I mean, he's got a lot of options, right? He wants to coach, apparently. I think the Giants fit with him pretty well. I mean, that's the kind of organization, the stability that they've had for many years up until recently. He's the kind of coach, I think, go in and stabilize things. Miami does need that too, right? Now, as far as McDaniel is concerned himself, I've always really respected Mike McDaniel as an offensive mind. I think he's a very, very smart offensive coordinator, offensive play caller. I've never had that same quite level of respect for him as a head coach. I'm not saying that, you know, he's not, he can't do really good things. And he did take the team to the playoffs, but it is just a different deal to be a head coach and to be a coordinator. And when you do this, what I do, what you guys do, and you're around people long enough, you understand the different ways, like, and reasons why being a coordinator is much different than being a head coach. A head coach, especially these days, has to be much more of a CEO, whereas a coordinator is the guy that has to be kind of the brains behind the operation a lot of times to draw things up. And I just never felt that McDaniel was quite to the same level as a lot of these guys we talk about, but he's been an excellent coordinator. He's an excellent offensive mind. I also have a ton of respect for the guy because mm-hmm. he has a personal struggle and story that we've talked about before yep. that he's open about. And I just think that that's a guy that I root for in that realm.
Yeah, hear, hear on that. I agree across the board there. I think any team that I read already, Detroit is reaching out to him, and if they hire him, I think that's a home run with their talent yep. on offense.
That's right. That's right. Now, I mean, I've seen Bills fans speculate, would he fit in Buffalo with, you know, if something were to happen with Joe Brady, whether he moves on to another team or the Bills move on from him. I don't know. I do think there's got to be, like, I think Mike McDaniel is a very good run coordinator. The Bills also run the ball really well already, right? Like, that's his bread and butter, what he does. And I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him with anybody other than Tua that's made it work with a quarterback.
Right.
Yeah, you give anybody Josh Allen, they should be okay. But his system, what he does, seems to fit really well with that particular quarterback, just like Kyle Shanahan, where he, you know, has the same system, fits really well with a Brock Purdy, right? And, like, there's just some guys who you get a certain quarterback with a certain skill set that really fit what you do. And then you go out of that, even if that guy is really talented, it just doesn't work for how you want to put it together.
Thank you, Sal. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's our dude, Sal Capaccio, on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I respect that, and this came up earlier with respect to McDaniel. I think I prioritize the offensive mind over the CEO point. I think there are maybe some, not necessarily false judgments, but there are some leaps taken based on how he looks, what he wears, you know, things like that, how he sounds.
Yeah.
But if I'm an owner or a GM, I want the witch with the play sheet, and maybe I put him with somebody, you know, like is Fangio maybe this in his career to an extent, somebody that's, you know, more experienced. Not that he's hosting the press conferences, mm-hmm. but what I really care more about than press conferences and image is the structure and the cohesiveness of my players and team. And I think that should be attainable. There are so many coaches on these teams to begin with. If you had a coach maybe like McDaniel is, I don't know, but that's sort of humble about what maybe his weaknesses are seen to be, then I think I'm okay. And I would love to have the guy who can make my offense sing and, you know, figure out the other part. What if I had to pick between the two.
What I think you just described is he's your offensive coordinator. You have someone else be the head coach.
Maybe.
That's what I think you just described.
It depends on whether I, you know, who I have as a head coach.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be afraid of him as a head coach, I think. I think I'd want to, I don't want to say insulate, but I'd want to try to get it right if there's something lacking.
I want to add one bit here because I thought right away, we heard the Harbaugh news late in our show on, was that Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday it was, because there's a Sabres game. I tweeted about it during an intermission. Like, you know, Harbaugh's available, maybe Mike McDaniel's out. And it took a couple days, but we got there. It's also possible McDaniel met with ownership there and doesn't love the idea of continuing with Tua, and they finish strong, and maybe he feels like he can get out of there now, whereas if he stays there and they try to make it work with Tua again and it doesn't work, he's more damaged goods than he might be right now. They did finish strong, and that is to his credit, and maybe now just might have felt like a good time from his perspective to go do something else.
Maybe, but he would have had to be very calculated in how he expressed that, because he didn't quit.
Right.
You know, he has a contract, and he wants mm-hmm. he's going to want his contract honored.
Right.
So he's, I don't know if I want to be here. Something like that, maybe. There's a middle ground where
there's a way that you can maybe just give off a vibe that, you know, like, you know,
wear, you know, shorts and sandals yes, all the time?
Yes.
I don't know. I like McDaniel. Timeout. And now you do too.
Yes, I do.
Timeout for sports. We'll be right back. Sabres and Rangers at 6. Pregame anyway at 6 here on WGR.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
I know you mentioned it earlier that they're just not going to be able to line up and play Smash Mouth with James Cook, but I think they have to start the game trying to do that. I really do. And then I think the other part that's important for Buffalo, let's get off to a fast start. Because if you get off to a fast start, Trevor's heart starts beating a little bit faster. He hasn't been in these situations as much as Josh has been in these situations, and we know how much playoff football is driven by the play of quarterbacks.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. From his podcast with Andrew Whitworth, we'll see them Saturday night probably. Prime has right. Packers Bears.
Righto. Yeah. I'm kind of unsettled. I twice this week the same thing has happened to me. Slightly different circumstances around it, but the same end result, which was getting scared. Really, scared is too strong. Startled enough to like, huh, like that, right? Is that startled? That's not scared, but huh, what was that, huh? By a William Shatner cutout.
Yeah, we have that here.
Our promotions director, there's been a lot going on here. We've been like reformatting the building. There's been construction going on. There's a lot going on. And this William Shatner cut out. It's, you know, it's like 6 feet tall. It's like life-size William Shatner.
Bill, yeah.
And Sam, I think, our promotions director, hangs lanyards around. There's like a collection of different events, whatever. Anyway, Shatner is outside of this office. And I think it was Monday I was out there. And I don't know why. I normally don't walk around with my phone. Like during commercial breaks, I'd go walk around just to I get stiff just sitting here for 4 hours, so I like to walk around. You do too. And
I do.
But for some reason, I had my phone with me. And on Monday, it buzzed just as I was passing Shatner. I wasn't thinking about Shatner, but I stopped there. There's some desks set up there, and I'm on my phone like answering a text with my back to Shatner.
Back to Shatner.
I had my back to Shatner.
You weren't thinking about Shatner.
I wasn't thinking about Shatner. I hadn't even really, you know, seen Shatner, but, you know, it wouldn't stand out because he's always there. Shatner's omnipresent.
Doesn't move.
Right. But I had my back to Shatner, and I'm texting, and I don't know if I caught a reflection in my phone or what happened, but I had this moment where I went, like, ah! I turned around like someone was suddenly. Also working on this is that there's never anyone here. Hardly during the day at all, but by this time of the day, there's no one here. Like, there's six people here, maybe, including the three of us, or four of us with G. There's maybe four other people. Anyway, whatever. There's just not
small
people.
Number.
So
not a lot.
That someone would be standing right behind me in a pretty narrow part of the building was weird, and it startled me, and I was like, oh, Shatner. Like, I muttered Shatner to myself after. Just now, no phone, I'm walking. I didn't stop, but I wasn't looking at Shatner. I was looking at something on my right, and then out of the corner of my eye, I like literally went, ah! At Shatner twice. Shatner's got me twice in the last 3 days. I'm shook by Shatner. Shatner is shaking me.
I can't be the only person really enjoying how often you've said Shatner.
I feel like it's key to the whole bit here. That's why I'm continuing to say Shatner.
Are you a fan?
Of course. I don't care about Star Trek
Rocket
at
Man.
All. Rocket Man.
The Rocket Man
We watched Rocket Man at 3 in the morning after coming home from bars more times, I think, than any other group of people could have ever watched Rocket Man.
Mm-hmm.
This is the early, like mid-80s. We used to watch that constantly. Like something, he would have people over, some beers after the bars. You got the Shatner VHS? Yeah, put it in.
Literally going as far as to put a tape in to watch it. It's like 3 minutes long.
It was back in those days, yeah. Gotta go find it. And it was a horrible, grainy copy of it, but we would sit there and just, in our drunken and Lord knows what else amazement, like, look at this. It's amazing.
Recommend the Chris Elliott version of the Shatner version of Rocket Man, by the way.
I have never seen the Chris Elliott version of the Shatner version of Rocket Man.
Hilarious. Basically just does it.
Anyway, Shatner's in my head now out there. Like, I hope now that I've talked it out that I'll be more fully prepared to not be startled by the Shatner cutout, but it really freaked me out twice. Today was worse than Monday, which is weird because Monday happened.
Yeah.
But I really just, like I made a sound.
Clearly.
And then that's evident. And Sparkle, our cleaning lady, was nearby, but I was like, I hope she didn't hear that.
It's embarrassing.
She didn't ask, like, what, are you okay? She didn't, so I'm guessing maybe she didn't.
I don't know why that's here. But I love that it's here.
I do too, except that it may have taken, I don't want to go years, but it may be like a half a day off my life.
Okay. Do you know how old he is?
89.
94.
Okay. Still going strong.
I don't know what he's doing. He went to space.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
He looks
pretty good.
He looks, I'm going to just say he looks good, not even for 94.
Well,
he just
it's a cardboard cutout.
Well,
and then he's on a billboard, and these are not necessarily recent
that's
images.
That's right, but I feel like I've seen him recently enough to say, like, he don't look no 94 to me.
The picture of him on Wikipedia was taken in 2025, and I'm with you.
It's a good-looking man. He's taking good care of himself.
Right. Well,
I just wish he would stop. I just wish he would stop scaring me.
I'd love to see him lead the charge someday. Maybe that can happen. I don't know if he has any Bills ties. Tom is with us. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. Bulldog, very, very funny with the Shatner stuff. I love it. I'm a big fan. And, I'll sit there, I'll crack open a beer, and then I'll look at my phone, and they're scary, actually. It says, here's the number for AA. It's like, really?
Mm. That's a tough one.
Anyways, I want to talk to you guys about, I've been talking to some of my people, and the thing with Harbaugh, you know, one of my friends said to me that he's holding out, see what happens with the Bills and the Packers. I'm just like, no. I mean, I got 2 points here. One thing is the opener. It was 4th-and-2 they had. They could have put that game away, and he punted, right? He's a punter, just like Tomlin. Same thing. What's he going to do different than McDermott goes for all the time now? So that's what I want. And secondly, there's no way in hell the Bills are going to open a new stadium without Sean McDermott there.
I kind of feel that, too. I do kind of feel that, too. I think if this year had really unraveled to the point where they didn't make the playoffs, then maybe. But I have a very hard time seeing them make a move on him going into the new stadium. It's not my favorite point, but aesthetically, I'm inclined to agree. I've thought the same thing, that there's no way that's happening now. And I'm inclined to agree on Harbaugh too. Like, I don't feel like that would be, I know he won a Super Bowl and McDermott hasn't, but I don't think it's a lateral move to me.
Did we talk about this walking out last night? I'm curious about his sex appeal, if you will, as a coaching candidate. Like, he's an institution. I mean, 18 years with one team,
right,
and a lot of success. There's no picking at that. But 64 years old, not 94, but 64 years old, and he's not, I don't think he's going to be seen as, come fix my quarterback, you know, come
right,
open up my offense. I mean, Jackson did happen. That it went a little bit awry. I don't know. I think somebody could love him. We didn't talk about this walking out the door last night.
It was,
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a big statement about your organization. It's a big get, Harbaugh. So I think there is that, but I'm not sure I would love it if I was like Tennessee or a team that, all right, well, he's going to bring Cam Ward along, who's 40 years younger than he is.
Tennessee more needs like this year's Ben Johnson. If he's
or Cohen, right? Somebody younger and maybe I'm stereotyping a little.
Yeah, I think the Raiders might make sense. For like, not that they won't have a quarterback to bring along, but they need. I mean, they tried this with Pete Carroll. That's why it might be weird. But like the credibility and the authority of like, look at the Raiders is not a great idea because they just did this. That is what Pete Carroll was, right? But
yes,
I feel like if they want to try that again, I don't know. Like Harbaugh, there's a seal of approval that you get with a guy like that, that the new hot, fresh coordinator doesn't have. Doesn't mean it's a better idea, but if you're looking for someone to sort of stabilize the situation, I feel like that's a really good, he's culture. He is like McDermott in that way. I think he would just almost just by his presence be like, okay, I guess we're not fooling around anymore. This guy's our coach. I guess we better straighten up.
Credibility. That's right. But that might not be everybody's biggest need, you know, as an organization. Right. The Dolphins would be a team that could, you know, make that case.
Yep.
Think that they have that need. I think that could work. Thanks, Tom. We'll be back after a timeout. Sabres and Rangers tonight. Pregame coming up soon, 6 o'clock here on WGR.